Our scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry and ministering, the teacher in teaching, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The scripture that we've just read from the book of Romans picks up towards the end of the letter. It also picks up at a prime transition point in the letter. For the previous 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul has been doing a lot of high-level explaining about what a life of salvation is like. What does that mean for those who are Jewish, and what does it mean for those who are Gentiles? What about the law? What about grace? What does it mean for us? What does it mean about sin? What does it mean for other people, especially people who we might think of as sinners? Now, Paul takes 11 chapters to explain all this, and so there's no way I should try to summarize it in one sentence, but I'm going to anyway, and here's the sentence. We're saved by the grace of Jesus. And that's really important for us to remember as we move into this scripture, because this chapter starts with these words. I appeal to you, therefore. That word, therefore, it might not seem important, but it means that Paul is drawing back on those previous 11 chapters. That as we move into this section about how we live, all of that is because what he has told us in the previous 11 chapters. We are saved by the grace of Jesus. His appeal is an appeal of grace. We live this way only because we have the free gift of grace at work in our lives. What's going to follow here for the rest of this book? These aren't commandments and rules that we have to follow in order to get right with God. These are promises of grace. This isn't a "you have to live like this in order to be a Christian" scripture. This is a "you get to live like this because you are a Christian" scripture. Now, you might be thinking, well, why does any of that matter? After all, it's still the same words. We're still being told that we present our bodies as living sacrifices and not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. That we're to be humble and that we're all members of the same body who have different gifts and functions. What does it matter if those are commands or if they're promises? Well, I will say for me that seeing them through the lens of grace, seeing them as promises, helped me shift this passage from one that, if I'm honest, I would say was definitely not one of my favorites, to one that I can now see as a beautiful description of the Christian life. I have this clear memory of being at a church youth event when I was in high school, and this passage about not conforming to this world was being used. And it was used in such a way to say that in order not to conform to this world, we should stay away from anything that was deemed cool. You needed to dress differently or unstylishly. You couldn't listen to music that was cool or watch TV or movies that were in. Now, for high school me, whose number one concern in life was fitting in, this was not an enticing invitation to the Christian life. I've shared before about how I was the girl in middle school and high school who wrote down every outfit that I wore so that I didn't repeat it within a 3-week time span. And so this wasn't for me. Plus, as a teenage girl, I loved to wear dresses. I liked to paint my nails bright colors like I still do today. And so this idea of having to dress differently, it didn't fit into who I felt I was to be. And on top of that, I didn't really think that Jesus' number one concern was my love of NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, and that I had to put that on the back burner. And so I thought, well, if this is a command, I'm not sure I even want to follow it. But then when I learned it could be a promise, well, then everything changed. Because think about what happens when the scripture becomes, you don't have to be conformed to this world. And think about the ways that everybody and everything that isn't God tries you to get to be something different than who God has created you to be. Think about all the ways that we're pressured to conform to earning our own worth when we have a God who always deems us worthy. And think about all the ways we're told to conform to working more and working harder when we have a God who always promises us rest. Think about all the ways we conform to hoarding more and buying more for ourselves when God always invites us towards generosity. Think of all the voices that call us to conform, to look a certain way or act a certain way, when God promises that we can always be who we were created to be. Think of all the names that we're called to conform to when God calls us beloved child. Think about all the ways we conform into looking out for ourselves first and trying to do things on our own when God always provides presence and community. Do not be conformed, because God actually promises a better way for us to live. And Paul outlines that better way for the rest of the scripture. We're promised that we don't have to be conformed to the world, because we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and then we can know what is good and acceptable and perfect. Transformation always comes from God. It's always a gift that's given to us. It's always grace. We never transform ourselves. We can't just sit down one day and say, okay, all those things of the world that I've been conforming to, the need to do life alone, the need to try to fight for my own worth, the need to earn love, I'm just going to stop all of those right now. It doesn't work like that. And thank God it doesn't, because we would never make it on our own. Instead, the grace of Jesus transforms us. The love of Jesus allows us to experience love. The strength of the Holy Spirit allows us to rely on God instead of relying on our own strength. We're transformed to know what is good and acceptable and perfect because we have a God who is good and acceptable and perfect. We have the promise that we do not have to be conformed to what the world says we are. We have the promise that through the grace of Jesus, we can be transformed. And we have one more promise in this scripture. We're promised a community with which we can be transformed together. We live the Christian life with others. The Christian life is not a solo mission. The Message paraphrase of the scripture puts verses 4-6 this way. It says, "In this way, we are like various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body, of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of this body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. The promise of this scripture is that we live into this transformation with others. That's why we gather together for worship. But it's also why we're called to move beyond Sunday morning worship as well. It's good and it's important to worship here or online, but the promise of being transformed by community is more than that. To truly be transformed with our community, we have to live and exist and walk together. We have to get to know each other and we have to be willing to be known. This is a promise from God. And because it's a promise, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you that you have to join a small group or that you really need to volunteer for a ministry, even though I could do that. Instead, I want to share with you two stories about how I've experienced God's promise of transformation through this community. Like Connie, I've been privileged to serve as a Kids Hope mentor since I began serving this church. I feel like it's the one ministry here that I get to do as like a normal Christian because the kids I mentor never have any concept that I'm a pastor. My current mentee, I've had three, this is my third, is entering fifth grade, and I started with her last year in third grade. She'd fallen very behind during COVID, especially in math when she was doing online school. But more than that, she lacked a courage to try something she knew was going to be hard. And so we spent the year together and we did a lot of math, but we also played a lot of games and had a lot of conversation. She told me at the end of the year that her math had gone from a D when we started to a B+ at the end. But more importantly than that, and she even said this is more importantly because I have a very self-aware mentee. More importantly, she told me, she felt like a different kid at the end of the year than she was at the beginning of the year. She said, when I first came into this room with you, I was so scared to even ask to play a game that I didn't know how to play because I was so scared to have to learn something new. But now I'll ask to play any game. I'm different. I have more confidence, she told me. And for me, I was transformed last year, just like I am with all the kids I've worked with. Not only is my mind transformed, because this is my third time through fourth grade math, and so I'm really good at it now, but more importantly, because for an hour each week, I got to be who God made me to be. There's no impressing these kids we mentor. They don't care who we are or what we have or where we come from. They care that we show up for an hour each week and we enter fully into their lives. And the simplicity of that act, the grace of showing up, has transformed me to know what is good and acceptable and perfect is oftentimes purely showing up and being completely present with somebody. The promise of transformation in community happens when we show up and when we serve others. And the promise of transformation in community happens when we grow in faith and live life together. I know I've talked before about the small group I'm part of that has women from our church and women from New Community Bible Fellowship Church, a predominantly Black church in Cleveland Heights. Well, we had the opportunity as a group to have dinner together last week before we start up again for the fall, and we do have a couple open spots if you want to join us up for women this fall online on Zoom. Wednesday nights we'll be studying together. But there's beauty when this group is together because we know that even if we don't all believe the same things or do church in the same way or have the same life experiences, that we're all trying to live into the promise of transformation together. Like all the small groups I've led here, I've learned so much and grown so much in my faith by listening to others in the group share, by hearing insights and ideas I never would have thought of on my own, and by the vulnerability of others to be their true selves in a small group. I appeal to you, therefore, through the grace of Christ, to live into these promises from God, to know and to trust that you do not have to conform to who the world tells you to be, that God calls you to be your real and full self as a beloved child of God, to be transformed by grace, to have your mind renewed, to know what is good and acceptable and perfect, and to know that you are promised a community to do this with as well. This isn't a solo journey, but a way for us to do life together, and how we serve, and how we learn, and how we worship, and how we live into the promise of grace that Christ has given to us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we are so thankful for the gift of grace that you have given to each of us. May the gift of grace free us from being conformed to this world, and instead allow us to be transformed together as a community into what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.